Welcome to our podcast, Healthy Brain Banter. This is a podcast created by a team of nursing students to bring you accurate and reliable information about mental health. In today's episode, we will discuss a topic that I'd say nearly all of us have had experience with, mental health and the effects of academic stressors. For most of us, whether you're in college, high school, or even elementary school, school can be rough sometimes. Sometimes the stress and pressure to perform at a high level academically can be incredibly hard to deal with. One study found that 5% of college students do not graduate due to mental illness, and an estimated 4 million people worldwide would have graduated from college if not for these psychiatric disorders. And even if you aren't a student, chances are you've had a few stressful moments in your own life before and could benefit from hearing what our mental health expert has to share with us today. We are so excited to have psychiatric nurse practitioner and BYU professor Brandon Thatcher here with us. Brandon has a lot of experience in helping those dealing with mental health struggles to improve their quality of life and find solutions to their difficulties. Brandon earned a Bachelor of Science in Nursing in 2009, followed by a Master of Science in Nursing in 2013 from the University of Utah. Before becoming a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, Brandon worked for 5 years as the charge nurse for both the child and adolescent inpatient units at the University Neuropsychiatric Institute in Salt Lake City. As a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, he has worked in various settings, including a psychiatric crisis center, which is similar to a psychiatric emergency room, several substance use disorder treatment centers, an eating disorder treatment center, several therapeutic boarding schools, and at the BYU Student Health Center. He and his wife, Danina, have 3 children. They never regret spending money on travel and good food. Brandon enjoys many of the same things you probably do: family time, food, playing guitar and drums, food, wrestling kids, his own, food, watercolor, painting, food, and spending time outdoors. Brandon, welcome to our show. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much, Abby. It's good to be with you again.
For those of you listening, Brandon was actually one of my professors this last semester, so it's exciting to have him here and have his expertise and some of these questions that we'll be discussing today. So our first question for you, Brandon, is what led you to pursue a career in the field of psychiatric mental health?
Well, my first exposures were not positive, and I didn't really know what to do with them. And I think it took several years before I started getting interested in learning more. But when I was just back from my mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I woke up one morning the day after Thanksgiving, and I found my younger brother passed out on the couch, and I thought he had just stayed up late, and I tried to arouse him. I even got cold meat out of the freezer, put it on his face, thinking I was being funny, and I did not know that he had a drug overdose, and I soon after had to take him to the hospital, and so he subsequently, in later years, suffered from substance use disorder, depression, anxiety, and then borderline personality disorder. And none of those things made any sense to me back then. It just seemed ludicrous why you would choose that path. My next one was when my father-in-law attempted suicide when I was in Alaska with my wife just after getting married. And, you know, we did not talk about it with anyone because we didn't really know how to navigate that subject. And we didn't know how to really process it ourselves. But I think my interest in getting into this area of nursing one of the reasons I went into nursing is because I did not know what I wanted to do. And within nursing, you can do pretty much anything. And so I knew that it was going to be a good, fulfilling career, and there'd be lots of options. So I went into it. And as I was nearing graduation, I went to a presentation at the University of Utah, where they introduce you to all of the specialty areas in their nurse practitioner programs. And the woman that spoke about psychiatric nurse practitioners really caught my attention. Surprisingly, I was not planning on that necessarily, but we could have one-on-ones with these representatives from each of the nurse practitioner colleges, and we met with her one-on-one after, and she answered all my questions and concerns, and it was just felt really good. It felt like a area that was high need, a very vulnerable population, and that it would definitely be really fulfilling to try and help these guys out. And so that's what kind of led me down that path in nursing.
Wow, that's amazing. It sounds like you've had quite the journey getting to this point, and a lot of experiences that have helped you gain a lot of empathy for this population. So we're excited to have you speak a little bit more about what we can do to help those around us who might be dealing with mental health issues. So in your experience, how have you seen academic pressure specifically affect students psychologically?
Yeah, so I worked for about 4 years at the BYU Student Health Center and just met with students with psychiatric concerns. That's what I did. And it was really, you see a lot of what you see outside of colleges and universities, depressive disorders, anxiety disorders being the most common. In university settings, I think you start seeing a little bit more of other issues as well, eating disorders being a big one. And so I think that I was just pulling up, we're completing a study right now. We're trying to learn about how to help college students thrive and how to help them to be able to have more wellness overall in their lives, because it's a big struggle for them. And so as we got looking at the data, we saw that in between 2009, 2015, there was a huge increase in how many students, while they are university students, seek services at a student mental health center or at a student a health center for mental health reasons. And so that those numbers just jumped up almost by 40% just in a few years. And it's estimated about 36% of college students receive help for their mental illness when that's of the people that need it.
Wow.
So it's a really low number. So we're trying to figure out how we can best help them. It's probably a little late in the game and be probably better earlier in life, but we're trying to figure out what we can do to help them. So it's a really common problem that universities and colleges across the nation have seen.
Yeah, I can definitely attest as a college student that it can get pretty stressful sometimes. So that makes sense that it's a lot more of a widespread problem than we might think. So what would you tell someone who feels like they're just procrastinating and being lazy when they're really actually dealing with a mental illness?
So I would want to highlight what I'm seeing as a friend that knows them. And if I'm seeing some differences in their distress, what I'm picking up, or their functioning, if it's suffering in some important way, whether that's at school or they're not attending social activities as much or whatever I'm noticing, just as a friend to highlight what I'm seeing and to give them a space that's safe to talk, letting them know that you're there if they would like to talk is one of the best things you can do for someone.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. That sounds like a great way to kind of remove some of that stigma that people might feel when dealing with a mental illness and helping them open up so they can get some help that they need. Specifically with our college student population and in your experience working at the Student Health Center, what would you say are some of the most common mental health issues associated with a stressful academic environment?
Yeah, I think that college students are at risk for developing mental illnesses for a variety of reasons. And one of them is just the age they're at. They're at an age and a time when they are experiencing a high amount of change in a short amount of time. And they're doing that at a time when brains are still developing up till your mid-20s. And there is a lot of risk with that alone. And that doesn't even take into account someone's genetic vulnerability, which we know most all mental illnesses have a genetic vulnerability. And so everyone's got almost like a different threshold that once you kind of hit that threshold, it's kind of like the last straw, and an illness can develop. And so when you add all these piling stressors, and of course there's the academics, but there's many other stressors when you're trying to cope with, say, here at Brigham Young University, there's a culture here that's a lot of, it can be stressful to try and navigate, and then to try and figure out your social scene or your spiritual standing or many, many, many things that are part of normal development at that age, but you're kind of already at risk. That's the thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's so many different things going on already that all of it can kind of pile up easily.
But to answer your question, kind of where I was leading before, a fair amount of what you see is most common in the general population is what you tend to see in college and university age kids too. So that anxiety disorders, depressive disorders are the most common. And then things like psychotic disorders tend to be less common, although they still happen here.
Okay, thank you. And you mentioned a little bit of this earlier, but you talked about highlighting some of the differences we might see in a loved one and creating that safe space. But if we have a friend or a family member who's struggling with mental health disorders, what are some other things that we can do to help support them?
Yeah, so you can highlight. I like to use example of a friend that you notice that's developing symptoms that it's concerning, and you're picking up on it, and they might think that others don't notice. But if you're noticing that they're having, like we said before, more dysfunction or distress, then it would be a kind thing to do to offer yourself as someone you can they can talk to. And then if the problem persists and they're not talking, then highlighting again what you're seeing. So I like using the example of someone with an eating disorder, because it can be, like any mental illness, kind of awkward to just bring up in conversation, and you don't want to hurt your relationship. But I would say something like, you know, I've noticed you seem to have lost a lot of weight recently, and I don't see you eat socially anymore, or I hear you talking a lot about food and bodies and healthy eating and how often you're working out. And I just share this with you because these observations make me worried that you might have developed an eating disorder, and I really think it's a good idea to consider talking with someone about this. So that kind of language is hard to be too offended at, because it comes from a place of love, and there's a special place that you can cross-section, you can correct or help someone improve their situation, seek services, and do it in a loving way. So
I love that. Thank you. I think that's so important, that sometimes it can feel awkward to bring up these situations, but I like that you talked about there's that crossover when you come from a place of love, that we can really make a difference in these friends and families' lives if we take the chance to speak up about these things that we're seeing. So thank you. And so what are some resources that you'd recommend for someone dealing with anxiety, depression, some of these mental illnesses that you've brought up, when it starts interfering with their academic performance?
Yeah. So, biggest resource would be just someone that can talk with them about it, whoever that is. After that, I mean, there are many. I like, if you look, talk about the BYU community, there are many. And I sent you some resources that you guys can post on your website, which are helpful for especially the local community around Provo. But I would say that CAPS and the Student Health Center are free. And so for students, you know, that would be an excellent place to start, even if they've had negative past experiences there, which sometimes happens, and giving them another chance, another try, and going to where it's local, it's free, it's close, and there's great people that are providing services there.
Yeah.
So that's my first go-to just for those reasons. But then there's others on the resource sheet that I sent to you that you'll see on the website that have lots of other options, websites. And so I would start with those.
Great. Yeah. We'll make sure to post those so everyone listening today can see those and access them and share them with their loved ones. And then in addition to those resources, I know sometimes going to the counseling center or starting therapy can seem like a big step for someone who's just starting to navigate these difficult issues. So what are some simple ways that students can take care of themselves mentally during a busy and stressful school semester?
It's a great question. I would say that SilverCloud is a free resource for students, and that is the intent is to help just get in touch with some basic self-care skills and what's already going well and so forth. I think that in addition, I really like the National Health System. So they're over in the UK, and they've got these evidence-based practices that they say, okay, if you want to take better care of yourself, here's some good ways how to do it. And the first one is connect with others. And so that's important. We are hardwired to need connection, and we don't do very well when we're just stuck with us and ourselves and our thoughts. And so it's really healthy to find ways to connect, however you do that. And the second thing they do, they say, is be active. Movement is very, very good for your cardiovascular system, but it's also really good for your mental health. And so if you can find ways to connect with others while you're moving, that could be like a twofer. But then they also talk about things like keep learning, like engaging in something of interest to you, which I think is really fascinating. Another is giving to others. And then the last one they have is mindfulness. And giving to others does not have to be very large. It can just be, I'm purposefully looking for ways to help someone else's day. And it can be very small things. As far as the mindfulness piece, you can do many things more mindfully, and you will find that it will have wonderful side effects, such as you tend to be more grateful for the things that are all around you that you take for granted. You don't think about them. And being mindful of how great it is that you have people around you that you can connect with. It is so good for us to be mindful and also to be accepting of some things that just are there. They're hard things, and you know, it's okay. They don't have to be solved today. Accepting that they're there. And then I do like the four A's as well. These are avoid unnecessary stress. That's the first. And we can do that in some areas. Another is alter the situation in as much as you can. And another is adapt to the stressor that you're facing. And finding out how that looks for you is going to be individual, what works for you. And the last one is accept the things you cannot change. But those are some basic evidence-based self-care strategies.
Great. Thank you so much. Those sound super helpful. I'm going to have to definitely look into using some of those myself. And our very last question for you, you've probably mentioned a few of these things already, but we ask all of our guests that we have here, what do you personally do to keep a healthy mind? So what are some of your favorite things to do to stay mentally healthy?
Well, I don't always have, so I would say for most of us, it is good to have a few options because it's not like one will always work. And sometimes you don't have access to all of them. For instance, I find music to be really powerfully calming, but I don't always have access to music. If I'm, at work, I can't just plug in my iPod during a lecture or something. So I do find music to be really, really helpful. But I also have found that movement has been really important. And so I kind of rediscovered this during the pandemic that daily walks are so good for me. So I try to get one walk in at least every other day and some, most of the time every day. We recently got a dog and so that helps. it's very simple, but it's kind of impressive how it's like a small investment. I get a big return on a walk outside. So really, really like that. I have found spirituality to be another outlet, but again, I can't always just rely on that alone. It's good to have other ways to manage this. So I find that, the wrestle type of prayers, the Enos type prayers, are really, really just cathartic and very good for me, to feel at peace again. And, and that does include a daily focus on repentance. And that can be very, very enabling. It just really, really energizes me when I feel connected with my Heavenly Father. And then I also find that ice cream and cookie at the end of the day is something that's funny because I and my wife probably almost every day have a scoop of ice cream or a cookie at the end of the day. But it's a little self-care moment that we found to be just like really good couple time. And so I think it's different for everyone, but it is very good for everyone to have multiple options to choose from. And they can start purposely engaging in those things when they feel really off balance. And so
that's great. Thank you so much for setting a great example for us all and using these different resources and finding what works for us to help ourselves feel mentally healthy. And thank you for being here today and so thoughtfully answering all of our questions that we had. We appreciate everything you've shared with us. And I hope all of you out there heard something that will help you make it through finals week or stressful situations a little easier next time around. We'll be putting some additional resources on our mental health website, as we discussed, and that's allthingstraumaandmentalhealth.com. And we'll also add some mindfulness exercises on our website, so be sure to check those out. Thank you all for tuning in today, and we'll be back next time to discuss the connection between our mental health and our physical health.